ओम अज्ञान्ति मिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा सहमदमह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so I wanted to ask all of you about yesterday's Gita class. You know, I am repeatedly asking this question because for me it is very important. I'm not asking about any other class, but specifically Gita class, because somehow my target is to get, you know, non-devotees in the class and, you know, try to convince them about Bhagavad Gita and all. So what do you think about it? And obviously, like, you know, it's a mixed crowd. Like, you know, there are people who are young in age, and then there are people who are like senior in age. So, and then some of them have some background and some of them do not have background. So then I, you know, I'm like, I try to, you know, explain as much as possible in the class, which is, you know, required. Okay. So can I get some, you know, feedback? Like, how do you find it? Actually, some devotees have already expressed their views, but if anyone would like to share something more, or like,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
No one? Yeah.
Hari Bol. Prabhuji, just because I think some newcomers and someone is outside.
Actually, again, the disturbance is coming. Someone is outside.
Yeah.
Huh, okay. Yeah, Mataji.
Yeah, maybe you can go a bit slow initially for them so that they get into the flow. To include them into the whole flow.
Slow means?
I mean,
like
some of the concepts and all, yeah. I mean, I don't know. But yesterday's class was good for us. It was okay. But just you
some
mentioned
the...
that you mentioned just now, no? Some people may be very new to the whole BG or something. So that's why I said maybe you can go a bit slow for them, for their sake.
Go what?
Slow
means like you mean the speed?
Yeah, like Shruti, Smriti, etc. Yeah, for them. I mean, for those people, they can say.
Speed, basically.
Yeah, speed.
Yeah, because they don't know basics also.
So you're talking about speed, no?
Yes, Prabhuji, yeah.
Yeah, actually, see, now I know that some, you know, some like outsiders, they, you know, felt that the Shruti Smriti thing is kind of probably new for them, or maybe, you know, they felt that it was kind of a little bit different. But I wanted to, you know, somehow emphasize, you know, the importance of Shruti, to somehow bring this point that, you know, why we are, when we are discussing Bhagavad Gita, I want to establish that as an absolute authority on, you know, like why one has to accept the Bhagavad Gita. So for that, one has to understand that Bhagavad Gita is, because see, normally in India, many people, they have this conception that Smriti is actually less important than the Shruti. Okay. So what I did is, you know, I established the fact that Bhagavad Gita is also Shruti. And at the same time, Bhagavad Gita is actually giving the essence of Shruti, Smriti, everything. Okay. And then obviously, you know, I had to give some comparison, difference and all that. And obviously I had to quote Acharyas also, because there are some people who are, you know, like young in age, you know, they are not aware of all these things. So for them, it is kind of very new. But then there are some, you know, people in the group who are also senior in age, they are matured. And I'm like, you know, I think so that, you know, they are probably aware of Shruti, Smriti and all these things. What is the difference? Like, you know, there is one professor also in our group. He is the head of department in Kerala. Some Kerala university is there. So he also knows Sanskrit. But yesterday, like, he could not join. Maybe in the future he might join. So actually, I had prepared accordingly, you know, like to cater mixed categories of people. So obviously, you know, it will be very difficult for me to cater to only one category. Huh?
His name is Varun. Varun, na? His professor's name is Varun, right? Varun is that Kerala professor in Sanskrit?
No. He's Kulkarni doctor. I don't know, but Kulkarni, his last name is Kulkarni.
How many devotees are there in that class, Prabhuji, in Gita class?
So, but he did not join yesterday. And 51 are registered.
Oh, it was a very huge group.
So, out of 51, I think yesterday there were like around 30 or something.
Good,
they had attended around 30 or 35, something like that. Yeah. So, see, now there are devotees also in the group, like, you know, maximum are devotees in one sense. Outsiders are like, you know, around 8 to 10 people are outsiders, basically. So, basically my focus is more on them, actually. And in one sense, devotees will get, you know, I mean, so that's why I'm also covering basics, you know. It's not just because the devotee class will be a different one. You know, it will be like, you know, the way we were discussing about Shruti Smriti and all that. So it will be more in-depth knowledge of that. But for, you know, mixed people, you know, and basically my focus will be on non-devotees. So there will be like, you know, more basic things. And, you know, I will try to add more stories, analogies and all that in that. So that, you know, they can understand in a better way. But it's, you know, very much necessary to establish, you know, Srila Prabhupada as an Acharya, then the Bhagavad Gita as a authority, you know. So all these things are extremely important. Otherwise, you know, one can doubt that so many scriptures are there, so many Puran, Itihas, and, you know, Vedas are there. So why we should accept Bhagavad Gita? And that too, the question will come probably in the future, that why only ISKCON Bhagavad Gita, you know. So I was contemplating all these questions, and that's why somehow I established that, you know, Prabhupada is actually the Acharya in the entire, you know, human race. There has been no Acharya like Prabhupada. And then, you know, I also shared many characteristics of Prabhupada, so that, you know, they will feel that, yeah, this person is actually, you know, someone who is like directly empowered by the Lord. So very authoritative like that. So I wanted to prove that point basically in the class. So I think till now, you know, no one has any, you know, they have not asked any question like this, that why should we, you know, only ISKCON Bhagavad Gita, or like questioning Prabhupada's authority or something. So hopefully, see, you know, once I understand, you know, once they start attending regularly, and once I understand how much they are favorable to ISKCON, how much, you know, they have like favorable views for ISKCON, Bhagavad Gita and all that, then it will be easier for me to, you know, like explain, you know, more things about connected to ISKCON and all that, like, you know, then it will be easier for them to accept it also. But currently, you know, I just wanted to somehow make this, you know, take a stand that, you know, like ISKCON is most authoritative. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, most authoritative. Prabhupada is the most authoritative, like that. So, yeah, but, you know, as Mataji was sharing, that I will go slow, you know, for the speed thing, I will go slow, so that. But as far as, you know, I think the problem, many people, they gave me positive feedback. But only thing is they have given positive feedback. But many of them, they said that there was a lot of disturbance actually in the Skype call. So it was like breaking, the voice was breaking in between. And then, you know, some external disturbance was also there. And then the problem, main problem was that, you know, Star 6 devotees are trying to press, but then it was not working. So all these things are there. Because of that, you know, it was kind of this thing. We'll have to find a solution for that. So apart from speed, you know, anything else, like, you know, the duration was okay?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes.
Okay, and And yeah, okay. So I also felt that duration was, you know, pretty okay, because like 1 hour 20 minutes, I think that was that's good enough for, like, you know, new people. So okay, all right. So if there is no feedback about the class, then it's fine. Actually, yeah, I just also wanted to share that. So I was saying that, you know, this many people in India, they believe that Shruti is more important than Smriti, and Smriti is kind of, you know, because it is remembered and, you know, it is written down by sages, so it's not so authoritative. But that's not, you know, the fact actually, and that's why I had to mention this. In fact, if there was a question about the authenticity of Smriti, then, you know, I had also prepared, you know, I could quote many Upanishads and, you know, from the Ved, that how Purana Itihasas, they are also, you know, part of, actually they really is a part of Vedas. They are actually together. In fact, Itihas and Puranas, they are complementary to the Vedas, in, and they give them, they actually, you know, describe the Vedas. They explain the meaning of the Vedas, and at the same time, the Puranas, they complete the Vedas. So the Vedas without Puranas is incomplete. So that's why it is, you know, the name is given Puranas. So Puranas means actually, Puran means, you know, complete, like that. So so there are statements directly in the Vedas which clearly says that, you know, when the Lord, the breathing of the Lord consisted of, you know, the Vedas, the four Vedas, then Itihasa, Mahabharata, and, you know, Puranas, like that statements are there in the Vedas itself. So I, you know, we have sufficient proof for that. Okay, like that. Okay, all right. So let's start with our exam review. I hope everyone is there now. Till now, all the devotees are there. So Radhika Kishori, you're there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm listening. I have muted.
Okay. And what about others? Tanvi?
Hari Bol Prabhuji, I'm there.
Nidhi Mataji, you are there? Oh, okay. Nidhi Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, I'm there. I'm there, Prabhuji. Hello.
Oh, okay, all right. So it seems that, yeah, Bhairavi Mataji, you are there?
Yes, Prabhuji, I'm there. And like right now you
okay,
were talking
anyways.
About yesterday.
Oh, okay,
class.
Nice.
So like I was traveling and I was outside, but I heard for half an hour. In a way, like it was really nice. You started with all this background in a way, like, you know, affirming these things and Shruti and Smriti and everything. So, like I was really happy that this is the way that you should know what you're doing. You know, you have that conviction that why you're studying BG, then only you will have that, you know, you will continue that. And I found it really nice. I could not hear the full class because of the network connectivity. Like, I just got disconnected halfway. But the starting, I was there, and I, like, the way you started.
Okay, okay.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, thank you, Madhuri. Yeah. Okay, so I think everyone is present now. I don't know if any more devotees are going to join. But let's start now. Okay. The first question: what is the meaning of bhakti? So, yeah, very simple. You know, like, and I have given equal point for each question, so that, you know, if you are not able to answer some difficult question, then at least you get more marks in the simple ones. Okay, so the meaning of bhakti is what? Devotional service, rendering devotional service. So I think maximum devotees have written. See, I was looking for the word devotional service mainly. Okay, so if you have mentioned that word, you know, specific word, then you have got full points. So devotional service, you know, then some devotees have written about rendering service to guru, and some devotees have mentioned uttama bhakti and all that, which was actually not required. So only, you know, devotional service to Supreme Lord, that's it. So then you get full points. So any comment on this? Any question? Okay, no question on this. Everyone is satisfied with this answer. Okay. So explain how bhakti is superior to philanthropic activities. Okay, so the main points I was looking for is that bhakti is connected to our soul. It is eternal activity, and philanthropic activity is connected to the body, so it is temporary. And obviously, you know, so I think, you know, for the first 3-4 questions, everyone has got, like, you know, almost full points for that, because these are easy questions. So philanthropic activities are temporary and connected to the body. So that's why bhakti is superior. And bhakti will free one from, what you know, cycle of birth and early disease and take us back to Godhead. Whereas philanthropic activities will have to come back to the material world. So that is what I was expecting. Okay. So any question on this? Okay. Third, how can we know and understand God? So yeah, bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yash chasvi tatmata tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. So I was not expecting, you know, obviously I was not expecting that you'll write this Gita verse, but so one can know God by devotional service. And some devotees have also mentioned that the only way to understand or know God is to, you know, render service to his devotees like the guru and all. So that is also good enough. Okay, so this is, you know, by devotional service and by rendering service to devotees, by taking shelter of guru, one can understand God. This much. Any comments? Okay, so what is the meaning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and how NOD is connected to it? So many devotees, they have explained, you know, the word-to-word translation of Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. So that is what I was looking for. And somehow, you know, some devotees have mentioned that NOD is also nectar devotion, so it is equal to Bhakti Samrita Sindhu. But NOD is actually the summary study of Bhakti Samrita Sindhu. It is translated by Prabhupada, whereas BRS is written by Rupa Goswami. So whoever has written all these things, they are, you know, they have got full points. If they have missed, then they have lost. Okay. So any comment?
Can you repeat, please?
Okay. Describe the contents of Bhakti Samrita Sindhu. So meaning of Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, bhakti means devotion. Then rasa means mellow, then amrit means nectar, and sindhu means ocean, right? So it is like an ocean of devotional mellow, like that. Nectarian ocean of devotional mellow, like that. And then NOD is summary study of Bhakti Samrita Sindhu. So Nectar of Devotion is written by Prabhupada, and BRS is written by Rupa Goswami. Okay, so is that okay?
Yeah, yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, okay. Next, describe the contents of Bhakti Samrita Sindhu. So, in this question, I was expecting that, you know, eastern waves, western, northern, southern wave, and all that, right? So, whoever has mentioned that, and then obviously, some devotees have very nicely, you know, presented that eastern section itself consists of, you know, sadharan bhakti, you know, then bhav bhakti, prema bhakti, and all that things. So whoever they have mentioned like this, you know, the four waves, they have got full points. Okay, so any comments? Yeah, if some devotee has provided more details, then obviously, you know, they have got full points. So or some devotees, they have provided the essence of, you know, whatever is required, they have got full points for that. So, all right. Okay. So, define Uttama Bhakti, write the full sloka and explain meaning each and every word. So, I think majority of the devotees, they have explained this properly. Anya Bilasita Sunyam Gyana Karma Dhyanavritam. They have also explained the word-to-word translations, you know, each and every word of it, probably. But, you know, I was expecting complete answer for this, you know, complete, including what we discussed about Yashoda Maya's case, then Kamsa case, you know, Kamsa, Shishupal, or any demon of Krishna, and then Draupadi also, you know, how she surrendered to the Lord, and was it also Uttama Bhakti. So all these things I was actually expecting. So whoever, you know, whoever has given all these examples, they quoted all these examples, they have got full points. And if they have missed certain points, then, you know, they have lost the points. Okay, so any comments? Okay, describe the characteristics of pure devotional service. I think almost each and every devotee, they have, you know, mentioned the right thing. All the six characteristics they have mentioned. So, you know, it's good, you know, like, it's, you know, given itself in the act of devotion. So I think each and every devotee have written properly. So that's fine. Okay, any comments? What is the root cause of bhakti? Question. Okay, so now see, yeah, so see the root cause of bhakti, as we have discussed, is the devotee, basically. Okay, so some devotees, they have written the root cause of bhakti is bhakti. That is also right. And some devotees, they have mentioned that root cause of bhakti is devotee. That is actually more correct, because bhakti ultimately is coming from a devotee's mercy. Although, obviously, you know, and then we have also discussed that. But that bhakti is coming from the devotee's bhakti itself, right? So those who have mentioned root cause of bhakti is bhakti, I have given some points, and those who have mentioned the root cause of bhakti is a devotee, which is, you know, manifested in the heart of the devotee. So then if these two points are there, then they have got full points. Okay, so any comments? Okay, ninth question. It seems that only some jivas get bhakti, but others do not get. Is the Lord partial in his choice? If not, explain how. So now, this thing, you know, I think we have discussed maybe 2-3 times, but I think most of the devotees wrote that the jiva has sukriti, you know, from their past life or karma or, you know, whatever, you know, that's why not everyone gets bhakti. But this is not what I was looking for, you know. Like what we discuss about this is, oh, I think some devotees have mentioned, you know, like some of them have mentioned very, you know, properly that actually it's the adhikar of the madhyama to distribute this mercy. And because the madhyama, they discriminate, that's why, you know, they, that's why only some jivas get bhakti. So like, you know, many times this question is asked that is the Lord partial in distributing his mercy, because only some jivas are getting but others are not getting. So we had discussed this in length, you know. Vishwamitra Thakur explained all these points that the Lord has given the right to, or the privilege to Madhyamadhikari to bestow mercy, because Uttamadhikari cannot discriminate. So Madhyamadhikari is the one who is going to bestow mercy on the jivas, and through them, and because he can discriminate, that's why, you know, only some jivas will get mercy. Okay, so the Lord is not partial, and only some jivas will get the mercy, like that. So this is what I was looking for actually in this answer. Not that, you know, some jivas, sukriti, this, that. See, because we have to understand one thing, that even though a jiva is very sinful, but still he can take up bhakti also. Like in the Shastra, there are so many examples, right? So like Mrigadhari Hunter, you know, such a sinful personality. And then Valmiki Rishi also, you know, they all were all sinful, but then, you know, by the special mercy of the devotee, they all took up to Krishna consciousness, right? So it does not depend on the karma. Okay, we can say that it depends on sukriti, but this, you know, the sukriti is created by the devotee, basically. Okay, so that is what I was looking for, that, you know, special privilege is given to the Madhyamas, Madhyamadhikari, and, you know, he bestows, and he, because he discriminates, that's why only some get bhakti. Okay, so any comments?
So, Prabhuji, both answers are nearly same, no? What's the root cause of bhakti and this one?
See, in the root cause of bhakti, you know, the answer is only the devotee is,
okay,
you know, mercy.
I,
and bhakti,
okay,
that is only the answer. That's what you have to
Actually,
but
I explained the thing in
specifically
that,
asked that, you know, how is what bhakti?
Okay.
Prabhuji,
yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so,
some jivas
see,
only
you,
get bhakti, others don't get. Can you explain once more?
You know,
why the others don't get then?
Yeah, so I have explained three times. So see, basically, this is what Vishnu Chakra could explain in Bhakti Samrit Sindhu, which we have not, you know, it's not there in the first 19 chapters. It's outside of that. So I just, you know, brought it because I thought it's very important to understand for devotees. So see, first of all, you know, there are three categories of devotees: Uttama, Madhyam, Kanishta. Everyone knows that Uttama is, you know, the highest. He cannot discriminate. Okay, so because he thinks that he is the lowest actually. So then what happens is, and Krishna is, you know, or God has made very clear that, you know, you cannot approach me directly. You know, you have to go through my devotee, right? So then which devotee? So that devotee is the Madhyam Adhikari, because he is the one who is discriminating, and only those who can discriminate can, you know, bestow mercy on others, right? The Madhyamadhikari is the one who is preaching, because the Uttamadhikari feels that, you know, all jivas are serving the energy of the Lord, so they are all devotees, so he cannot discriminate. So Madhyamadhikaris are the ones who are discriminating, and because the devotees are limited in their capacity, so they bestow mercy only on some jivas, you know. So that's how we understand. So the privilege or the right to bestow mercy is done by the Madhyam Adhikaris. Okay, and so see, now Vishwan Chakta also explains in that. So why do we say, so can we say that, you know, the bhakti is dependent on the devotee? Can we say this? Because we know that bhakti is independent. Bhakti comes from bhakti itself, right? So then when we are saying that bhakti is coming from the Madhyam Adhikaris or the devotees, so Vishwan Chakta could explain that. So then when we say that the Madhyam Adhikaris are bestowing mercy, but that mercy itself is coming from their own bhakti. Okay. So you know, then that's why it is said bhakti is coming from bhakti. So it is independent. So the bhakti in their heart, it's inspiring them to give mercy to, you know, selected souls. Okay, like that. So bhakti is, you know, independent, like that. So is that clear, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, but I wrote both in one answer.
Huh?
I wrote both things in one answer, Prabhuji. What's the root cause of bhakti? I explained that Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari about them.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, if you have written both things,
okay.
Yeah, then you'll get full points. Like, you know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see, this is what is important. Like, you know, if the main points are there, you will get it. Like,
okay.
Yeah, so is this clear, Satyabhama Mataji?
Yeah, to some extent, Prabhuji, but I will maybe ask separately. I still don't know why there are so many millions of people but who are not touched by bhakti.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was trying to ask. Okay, no problem.
Yeah,
Prabhuji, you can
because
go ahead,
the Madhyam Adhikari. Yeah, devotees are limited, that's why. Okay.
Hari bol.
Yeah. See, one more,
so
yeah, one more
Lord
thing is there. One more thing related to this is that the Upanishad, you know, yesterday I mentioned in the, you know, from the Upanishad it is mentioned that if you all remember in the Gita class, you know, I mentioned this point that in the Upanishad it is mentioned that only those fortunate souls whom the Lord Himself chooses, they only get, you know, His bhakti, right? Because, see, the fundamental principle is not everyone will get bhakti. Because, why? because through bhakti you can purchase the Lord, right? So you see, you know, so the Lord is very intelligent. You know, he's not taking the blame, but he's giving that to Madhyama Adhikaris, that, right? So that no one will blame him. And at the same time, it also makes sense to say that not everyone should get bhakti, right? Because it is not so cheap. Okay. Yeah, so you connect this point, you know, that not all the jivas should get bhakti, you know, because bhakti is something, yeah, like that. So only Madhyama Adhikaris, they can bestow mercy, and only some jivas will get. Now, which jiva will get, that the Madhyama Adhikari has the right to give. Okay, so it makes sense like that. Yeah, okay, so Radhika Kishori, you were saying.
So I'm asking, is Lord Parishad in his choice? The next question which I've asked. So then for explaining, if Lord Parishad in his choice, can't we explain that it depends on our karmas or sukruti of the devotees?
So is that the answer that you are saying?
No, I'm asking you.
So I explained.
No, I got the whole answer.
I started with this only, that if okay.
I understood that only Madhyama Adhikari distributes the bhakti, and only some jivas get bhakti, as Madhyama Adhikari devotees are very limited. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Uttama Adhikari cannot discriminate, so Madhyama Adhikari only distributes bhakti. Okay, then depends on the sukruti of devotee, he gets bhakti. Or he gets connected to a Madhyama Adhikari bhakti. Okay, so is Lord Parshal in his choice? I mean, we getting connected to a Madhyama Adhikari. How can we explain this?
No. See, you are not getting connected. You are not connected. The Madhyama Adhikari is connecting you to the Lord by bestowing mercy to you. So,
yeah, like, how
so he is creating your sukriti, basically.
Okay.
So, see, anyone who is offenseless in their character, you know, so karma does not come into play, you know, picture here. There is no question of karma here, because we all know that, you know, sinful people also can take to bhakti anytime. And by this, especially, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to do, you know, to distribute, you know, to the sinful people, in fact, the lowest people, you know, provided that they are not, they are offenseless in their demeanor. They are meek and humble, basically. So that is the only qualification required. So, you know, the devotees are going to be, you know, they are the ones who are going to judge to whom to give bhakti or not.
Okay.
Okay, so is this clear? Yeah.
So in the answer, we should mention about sukriti.
So just understand one thing, that karma is nothing. Huh?
So in this question, we have to mention about the sukriti also, right?
As what?
We should mention about the sukriti also. That it is.
See,
we get
actually, see, basically, most of the devotees have written about sukriti, and maybe some devotees have written about karma. So I have not, completely deducted the marks. I have given some points for that. You know, even if you have mentioned about sukriti, then still it is, you know, good answer. Like, you know, it's like not completely wrong. But, you know, this is the answer I was looking for. Like, you know, this is complete answer. So see, I have actually given whoever has written something right, you know, something, if they have written which is right, then I have given them point for that. It's not that, you know, so even if it is like, you know, even if I was not looking for that particular answer, but if it is connected to it somewhere, then I have given points for that. So I have tried to be as much, you know, lenient as possible. But if some devotee has written completely, you know, opposite, or you know, something which is not connected only, you know, then obviously, you know, I have not given any points. Okay, all right. So, any other comments or questions by devotees? Okay. 10th question. What are the fine kinds of liberation? Please quote Shastra to prove superiority of bhakti compared to liberation. So everyone, I think most of them have written the right answer. You know, Sayujya Mukti, you know, Sashti, Samipya, Salokya, all these things are there. And, you know, so now depending on the details that, some, you know, devotees have provided, I have given points according to that. So there, some have, you know, I have just like, you know, they have given examples also of devotees. Then they have quoted Shastra. Some devotees have not quoted Shastra. So depending on that, you know, I have like given points. Okay, all right. So any questions on this? So yeah. So these five kinds of liberation, you know, if devotees, they have mentioned the meaning of that, you know, like English translation, then it's good enough. You know, then they have got points. Okay, all right. So next question. What are the different types of karma? Please explain in detail. Now, many devotees, in spite of we discussing so much about prarabdha, prarabdha, kutam, bijam, like many devotees have written about karma, karma, vikarma. I don't know how Bhagavad Gita came into picture there. So, but still I have given points, you know, like, because it is, ultimately they have written something, you know, so I have given points for that. But,
Prabhuji,
you know, the best answer would be to explain, you know, yeah.
Prabhuji, the proof I wanted to know, Prabhuji, for the last question. Proof that it is superior. Bhakti is superior compared to liberation. Bhakti is superior
proof
compared
in,
to liberation.
Given in nectar. It is given in NOD. Prabhupada, you know, he quotes examples, you know, from Shastra. You know, from Shastra he is quoting from, you know, if you read that, you know, book, like the chapter, it talks about this five kinds of liberation. Prabhupada has quoted 2-3, you know, Shastric statements. So you can directly mention from that. Or even if devotees, they have their own, you know, if they knew some, like even if it is not given in the book, but if they knew some Shastra, you know, which is exactly connected to this, then that also is acceptable. Okay, so yeah, so different types of karma, you know, prarabdha, prarabdha, kutam, bijam, and specifically, you know, this was also, you know, discussed in the you know, revision class, right, in detail. I remember Satyabhama Mataji was in Mayapur and she was asking questions for, you know, prarabdha karma and prarabdha karma. So
yes, yes.
So I was specifically looking for this lifetime, and, you know,
yeah,
next lifetimes. So kutam, you know, prarabdha, yeah, prarabdha and bijam are related to this current lifetime, and kutam and aprarabdha related to next life. So then the kutam will become bijam, and, you know, it will finally come into prarabdha karmas. Okay, like that in the next life. So this is what I was looking for. Okay, so any question or comment? So, but most of the devotees have written about karma, karma, vikarma. So I have given only, you know, few points for that. Okay.
Batak gaya mind. Sorry.
Okay, what is root cause of sinful activities? Explain to me example. Okay, root cause of sinful activities. Explain examples, analogies. Explain how to get completely rid of it. Yeah, so the root cause of sinful activities is ignorance, avidya. That is the perfect answer. And then explain, you know, example, analogies. So then in nectar devotion also Prabhupada is giving example for that. You know, like some do, like, you know, that elephant, mad elephant comes out, he takes bath, and then he comes out, and then again he rolls in the mud and all. So these are the examples, you know, then finally he has, like, so there is, so unless the ignorance is, avidya is destroyed, one cannot give up the sinful activities. So how to get rid of it completely? By taking to the process of bhakti. Okay, and then there are other examples which Prabhupada quotes from in Nectar of Devotion also. So whoever has written about this, they have got the points. Okay? Okay, so now comes all the important questions, the conceptual questions. So till now, you know, I think most of the questions were directly from Nectar of Devotion. But now we will be discussing of the conceptual questions. So can one go back to Godhead just by Kirtan? If yes, what is the need of Guru? So different devotees, they have written different answers, but only some devotees have written perfect answers for this question. The answer is that one can go back to Godhead by Kirtan. Yes, that is correct. But provided it should be offenseless. Okay, it should be pure Shudnam or, you know, whatever, Nama, at least on the stage of Namavas. So one can actually go back to Godhead just by doing Kirtan. But because we are always mostly on offensive platform, that is the reason we require the Guru. So see, if you all remember, you know, I have shared this point earlier that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is a Mahamantra, and I will come to that. Most of the devotees, they have not given proper answer for this, you know, what difference between mantra and Mahamantra. So I will come to that. But see, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is a Mahamantra which does not wait for anything, does not need anything, neither initiation nor Guru nor association, nothing. It has so much potency that just by taking the name, chanting the name offenselessly, one can go directly to Krishna. So that is the potency. One can go back to Godhead by, you know, by Kirtan, but this is very extreme rare case that someone is offenseless throughout his life. Okay, and just by doing Kirtan, one can go back to Godhead. And if yes, what is the need of Guru? Obviously, the Guru is giving Samman Abhide Prayojan Gyan. So without that, one cannot become offenseless in his demeanor. So that's the main role of a Guru. He's training the devotee disciple how to chant the holy name, how to surrender to the holy name. So that's why a Guru is required. Okay, so any comments on this? Okay. So now comes up question, what is difference between mantra and mahamantra? Also explain difference between Gayatri Harinam. Out of the two, which is more important? All right, so difference between mantra and mahamantra. So if you all remember, you know, we were discussing about the mahamantra one time. And, you know, I specifically had mentioned that the mahamantra or the holy name does not start with Om, Swaha, Namaha, like that. It does not contain all these words. So it only contains the name of God. Om, Namo, Narayan, that's also not the Mahamantra. Because it has Om, Namo, right? And then Om, Namo, Bhagavata, Vasudeva, that's also not the Mahamantra. But pure holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, nothing. Om, Namo, you know, Swaha, nothing is there. So this is the holy name, and this holy name is different from a mantra. So mantra will have all these things, you know, Om, Swaha, this, that, you know, whatever, connected to, you know, all these things. Like, you know, some, like the Gayatri mantra will specifically have Om Bhurvasva Tatsavidurvaranyam Bhargo Devasidhima Diyo Yona Prachodaya. So three words are there in, you know, Gayatri. You know, Dhimahi Prachodaya.
Hare Krishna. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Can we
hear? I think Prabhuji is disconnected.
No,
I think Prabhuji is disconnected, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's about an hour, exactly an hour almost.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Yeah. That, you know, Om Namo Swaha, these words are not there in the Mahamantra. It's a beginning. And any particular mantra which says, it's a Mahamantra. Okay. and a mantra will have other things between mantra and mahamantra. So now many devotees, they have written mantra is something to do, but even mahamantra also does the same thing. You know, it's ultimately it's a mahamantra, so it can, there's no doubt about that. Okay, but that is not, you know, the technical definition. So this is the technical difference between a mantra. Mahamantra is mahamantra because it does not wait for anything. Now the mantra, it
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, sorry to interrupt. In the previous question, can one go back to Godhead just by kirtan? If yes, what is the need of a guru? Then you said yes, if he takes the name offenselessly and pure, then he can go back to Godhead. So then what do we write about, is a guru required then? What is the need of a guru? Pucha tha na, second question.
Guru is needed to give sambandha abhinaya prayojan. हरी बोल,
तू अपना हॉटस्पॉट शेयर कर देना, ये चला जाएगा, अब लाइट चली जाएगी तो.
हरी बोल,
या प्रभु
माता जी, ये राधिका,
आई थिंक प्रभु जी गॉट डिस्कनेक्टेड अगेन.
या
आई गॉट डिस्कनेक्टेड. हाँ ओके, सो यू आस्क्ड अबाउट द प्रीवियस क्वेश्चन.
Mataji asked, what is the need of a guru? In the previous question, can you explain that again? That is what she asked.
The voice is breaking actually.
Haribol, we can hear you.
Haribol?
Shall I repeat it? Shall I repeat the question?
13th question, Prabhuji it is.
Question number 13.
So yeah,
you said no, you said no, Prabhuji, that can anyone go to back to Godhead just by kirtan? So you said the answer is yes, by kirtan he can go, but he should be chanting offenselessly and in a pure state.
No, so what's the need of guru? Mataji is asking.
What to write for? What's the need of guru? If every, people can do kirtan, and you said na, it doesn't require initiation or guru, and in a pure state, if somebody is chanting offenselessly, they can go back to Godhead. Then what to write for? What is the need of a guru? If yes, so the answer is yes, as per what you said. Then what is the need of a guru? Me kya likhna chahiye? Main puch.
Yeah, but can one go back to Godhead, but it might be offenseless. And because the Mahaman,
I'm saying if Haridas
provided, it should be chanted. Mother, I not able to like.
No, no, Prabhuji, the answer
is anyone
yes,
else? Yes,
Prabhuji, yes, Mataji, what is the need of Guru? If anyone can go to back to the Godhead by kirtan. So what is the need of Guru? Her question is.
Any more question? Prabhuji ka question. I'm asking what to write for that.
Yeah, Prabhuji already gave answer for that. He is saying the need of Guru is giving a sambandh abhinaya prayojan. So that is the need for Guru.
No, but yeah, sir, just to extend it, Haridas
Thakur was a content offenselessly.
I'm not talking about us, Mataji. I'm saying if Haridas Thakur was a pure devotee and was chanting offenselessly, right? So, I mean, for those kind of devotees, they go back to Godhead, right? They don't need a guru.
Yes.
So, what Mataji, you are asking? You are asking that if someone...
Basically, everyone's voice is breaking.
It's not... Hare Krishna, are you able to hear?
Yes, we can hear you, brother.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Bol.
Prabhuji, you continue. Maybe I'll chat with you later. Yeah. Prabhuji, you continue, please.
Now I can hear. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji. Very clear. Yeah.
Yeah, so now tell me what the question is, that one can go back to Godhead by if they are offenseless, right?
Yeah, aapne hi question pucha hai question paper mein. If yes, what is the need of a guru? So what answer do you expect from us is my question. That's all, Prabhu.
So that is what everything I explained, what answer I was expecting. So I was obviously expecting.
No, I am writing down whatever you are saying. Maybe I missed the last few lines. That's what I think. So what should I write? If yes, what is the need of a guru? What answer do you expect from us there?
So if yes, but you have to explain, how one can go back to Godhead by kirtan, just by, doing kirtan without the need of guru. That you have to explain, actually. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, yeah.
Okay, I got it. Prabhuji.
Yeah, so does that make sense, Mother? Like, you know?
Yes.
You just have to explain.
Prabhuji, you got now?
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, we can hear you.
So that is what I'm saying. One can,
Shall I read my answer? Because I got the answer wrong. I have written, can I share my answer? I think I wrote wrong in this. Can I share
my
answer?
If you'd like to, no problem.
I have written, without following regulative principles and doing devotional service and attaining various stages of bhakti, one cannot go back to Godhead. Guru leads us to Krishna, and hence approaching a bona fide guru under disciplinic succession and humbly inquiring into him, one can be led towards Krishna. Only kirtan is done by many other mayavads and sahajiyas also. They will go to either Brahman or take a higher birth. This is what I have written.
So that is not completely right. And, I will tell you one thing, that the pure devotees who do kirtan, so they are actually, they don't even require a guru, first of all. They are just accepting a guru because they just want to set an example. They just want to set an example for others to follow, so that, everyone will accept a parampara and sampradaya. So otherwise, no one actually, all these pure devotees, they don't require a guru also. Just by their own, because they are some are Nitya Siddhas, and some are, if they have attained Bhava and Prema, then after that, see, once you attain Bhava also, then you are in touch with the Paramatma from within. Okay, so that's also a very advanced stage. And for that, what happens is the external guru becomes the internal guru. So internal guru is the Chaita Guru, the Paramatma from within the heart. So you are a guru actually, So someone who can, chant purely, require a guru, but just to set an example, they accept a guru. Okay, and those who cannot chant purely, for them guru is a must. Okay, so does that clear, Mataji?
Yes. Then for pure devotees, guru is not required is what we have to write, right? Because if somebody can go to back to Godhead just by kirtan, so the answer is yes for pure devotees.
Yes.
And then they don't need a guru, right? That's what we have to explain, isn't it?
But it's not required to that they don't need, you can also add that, they don't need a guru, but just to, set an example, they also take a guru, they also accept a guru.
Guru, we should say, for seven souls like us who are not chanting on a offenseless stage, we all need a guru for whatever other reason.
Okay,
we have to write pros and cons kind of thing. Okay, Prabhuji.
Yeah, and we have to remember also that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Gaurakishore Babaji, all these Nitya Siddhas, they also accepted Guru. Just to set an example.
Yeah.
Right? Krishna also accepted
Guru. Krishna also.
That's what. Otherwise, you know, many people in India, you know, they quote Mirabai, you know, that she did not have Guru and all that. So, unnecessarily, you know, because they just don't want any, to accept any Guru, so they will... So, then it will lead a wrong example. That's why we have to always say that Guru is always required. In fact, interestingly, if you see, in the Ajamil case, you know, it is said that, you know, he was offenseless, you know, throughout his life. And actually, Vishwanathan Thakur explains that he never thought that he does not require a guru or he does not need a guru. And that is the reason he was offenseless. If he would have thought that I don't require a guru, then Vishwanathan Thakur explains that this is an offense to the holy name. If he would have thought like that, then he would have been, you know, offending the holy name. Then he would have not got liberation. Okay, so this is very important. You know, the consciousness, you know, that intention is very important. Okay. Okay. So then next question, I've already explained difference between mantra and mahamantra. And now they explain difference between Gayatri and Harinam. So then, you know, we have to Gayatri requires rule regulations for a particular time period, and you know it's suitable for Brahmanas. Only Brahmanas can chant Gayatri, but Harinam can be chanted by anyone, everyone, anywhere, anytime like that. But Gayatri, it's not like that. You know, all these differences you can mention, and out of the two, which is more important? Of course, Harinam is more important because Gayatri will retire. You know, it can max it can enter the precincts of Goloka, but then Nam Sankirtan continues. Even inside Goloka, you know, the Harinam is the most important, actually. So Gayatri is actually assisting Harinam. If someone is chanting purely Harinam, then he does not require Gayatri also. Okay, so that's why, you know, Harinam is actually the, you know, main focus. And that's why Siksha is the main focus. Because Harinam, Nam Guru is a Siksha Guru. And Gayatri Guru is actually a Diksha Guru. Right? You all, like, we have discussed this point earlier, that those who give Gayatri, they are called Diksha Gurus. And those who give Naam, they are Siksha Gurus. Right? So, you see, the Siksha still continues when you enter the precincts of Goloka. You know, Harinam enters in Goloka, and Siksha also enters, you know, it within Goloka. But Diksha retires at the boundary of Goloka. It will not go beyond that because the role of Diksha is over. So the role of Diksha is to give you Sambandh Gyan. Okay, so Sambandh means whatever your Swarupa is, you know, with the Lord. So that is the limit of Sambandh Gyan. Once it gets over, then there is, you know, no role of Sambandh Gyan. Then it comes Abhidaya and Prayojan. Okay, so the Siksha continues, but the Diksha will stop like that. So similarly, Gayatri will stop and, you know, Harinam will continue. Okay, it's coming directly from Goloka. Golokera Premdam Harinam Sankirtan. It's coming, you know, I have shown this also, that how it is coming from the flute of Krishna. Right? The Hare Krishna Mahamantra, right from the flute of the Krishna, it comes to the material world. Okay, like that. So, is this clear? So, some devotees, they have, like, you know, not properly given answers to this question, but that they have given some answers, so I have given points.
Prabhuji, may I ask one question regarding this?
Yeah.
It's about those Goloka chart. There, this Gayatri mantra, the klim is given right in the center of that. So, how we understand that?
Yeah, actually, see, the Gayatri is, again, you know, see, now the Acharyas say that the Gayatri is also coming from the flute of Krishna, because first Brahma heard it from the flute of Krishna, you know, from the sound flute of Krishna. Okay, but see, this Gayatri is an expansion of Om, basically. Okay, and so basically, see, the Gayatri is manifesting when it is coming out of Goloka. Okay, that's the difference. That when it comes, leaves the boundary of Goloka, then it manifests. Okay.
Okay.
And Harinam is always there inside Goloka, because the name of the Lord is not different from the Lord. And because the Lord is present in Goloka, so Harinam is also there, right, inside Goloka. But see, when the flute, what happens is, when Krishna is playing the flute, so the sound of the flute, when it crosses the border of Goloka, when it crosses Vaikuntha, then in the material world, Brahma will receive in the form of Brahma Gayatri. Okay, so whatever he will speak, that becomes Brahma Gayatri. So when it is entering the material world, that time it is manifesting as Gayatri Mantra, that Om Bhur Bhuvasva Tatsavidur Varenyam. Okay. And then there is the Kam Gayatri, which is manifesting in the realm of Goloka, in the border of Goloka. Just as the Gayatri or the voice of sound of Krishna leaves the border of Goloka, then it starts manifesting at that point. So that's why it is called Kam Gayatri. Okay. So it is not inside, So we don't see, there is no Gayatri mantra inside Goloka. No one is chanting the Gayatri. Everyone is taking Shudhanam, Harinam, like that.
Okay.
So is that clear?
Yeah, like it was shown in that Klim right in the center in Radha Krishna, like that.
Yeah, it is shown like that because it's coming from the flute of Krishna, in that sense. So it's a good question you have asked this, but to clear up things that it's not there inside Goloka, like no one is chanting the Gayatri, okay, that. Yeah.
Because the sound of
the flute of Krishna is the root cause of all the mantras basically, and that's why Om, that Klim and all these mantras, they are.
Okay.
So Kam Gayatri is basically, that cling and all these things, consists of that. So
yes.
That is originating from Goloka, like that. It's basically manifesting from the border of Goloka through the sound flute of Krishna, like that.
So Gayatri originates from there, but it works only outside the boundary of Goloka.
Origin, everything is coming from Krishna ultimately. Everything, right? So in one sense everything is Krishna, but at the same time there is also a difference. So that is the reason they have shown that Gayatri, because that's how it is manifested from the sound of Krishna's flute. That's why.
So material Gayatri is what you said, Om Burbu Vaswa, that is material Gayatri mantra.
What?
The mantra which you say, Om Gurbhu Vaswa Tatsavitulvarenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimani Diyo Yona Prachodaya, that is material Gayatri mantra.
See, okay, so now there are different Gayatri mantras. So when the sound of Krishna's flute, it just crosses the border of Goloka, then it becomes a Kam Gayatri. And when it reaches down to the material world, then it becomes the Brahma Gayatri.
Brahma Gayatri,
okay. Yeah, so that's the reason, once you attain the position of Brahman or you enter into Brahman or you enter a state of Brahman, in the sense what Krishna says that Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma Na Shoshati Na Kangshati, right? So if you attain that state, in the sense if you chant offenselessly your holy name, then that Brahma Gayatri will retire.
Okay.
So Kam Gayatri will take us to the presence of Goloka. So it will continue till that. So it will go all over to the spiritual world. But Brahma Gayatri will retire in the material world itself. At the border of the Brahma Jyoti. Once we become Brahma Bhuta, like that. So that point it will retire, that Brahma Gayatri. Hmm. But then the Kam Gayatri will continue.
Correct. So around this Vaikuntha, is there any other Gayatri again? Or no? It is the Kam Gayatri only will take you to Vaikuntha and Goloka.
See, okay. So basically our Acharyas, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they have given Guru Gayatri, they have given Kam Gayatri, they have given Gopal Mantra, and they give God Gayatri. Okay. So in total, there are 7 Gayatris that we receive the time of second initiation.
Okay.
Yeah. And so... See, the idea is the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you know, for us, Radha and Krishna and Goloka is the, you know, our goal is Radha and Krishna and Goloka, right? So then for us, Kamga is required. Now, other sampradayas, they have different destinations. So accordingly, they give different Gayatris.
Okay. So Gayatri, like, as there's 16 rounds, so is there Gayatri also is some particular round or only one round they chant or something like that?
So, see, you already know the Gayatri, Brahma Gayatri. Om Bhur Bhuvasva Tatsavidur
Vajayam.
So that's
yes.
the Gayatri. Entire mantra is Gayatri. Brahma
yes,
Gayatri.
They chant one round or they, for that also there is some specific rounds which needs to be chanted?
I think only one. But you have to repeat it several times in a day. Like, you know, noon time is there. Then then at the same, you know, before sunrise, something like that. So 3 times in a day you have to chant. One time, I think, so I am, obviously, I have not yet taken Brahman Diksha, so I don't know exactly, but, but 3 times in a day you have to chant, and I think that's only one time. So, these 7 Gayatris you have to chant one time, you know, into 3 times in a day, like that.
Correct.
See,
basically,
the Gayatri mantras are given to assist the Harinam, okay, because, only through Gayatri mantras one can approach the deities. Because deities, we cannot approach, you know, it requires Brahmanical qualification. So, that's why everything, you know, connected to the service of deities require Brahman initiation. Okay. So, that's the role of Gayatri, basically. Otherwise, there is no need of Gayatri. See, because, I'm saying this, because when you approach the deity through the Gayatri also, there also there are, you know, more than 64 offenses to the deities.
Okay.
You know, like Prabhupada has like given the list of, and I think we have read in Nectar of Devotion also the entire list of offenses to the deities, right? So so we have to remember one thing that ultimately, even though we receive Gayatri, it does not mean that, you know, we have reached Brahma Bhuta platform, and offenses are still to be taken care of. So it's only that, you know, if we properly worship deities and chant the Gayatri mantras, try to avoid offenses, then very quickly we'll actually get taste for Harinam. Very quickly we can, we can come to the platform of Shuddhinam through the help of Gayatri mantras and deity worship. Okay. So if someone is already offenseless, then he does not even require Gayatri actually.
Right. So it is more association of Harinam, not Gayatri. You know, Gayatri has a particular interval for some time.
No, more means
24/7 is Harinam.
Harinam is eternal. It's an eternal activity.
Yeah.
Harinam.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
you know, like it's the sadhana and it's the sadhya also.
Correct. Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But Gayatri is just to assist Harinam, and once its role is over, it will retire.
Correct. Understood.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thank
All right.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good question, you know, about like Gayatri is situated in the spiritual world. Yeah. Okay. So, everyone is clear on this?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. The next question is, explain the 3 stages of devotion and the number of qualities. I think most of them have written the right answer, that sadhana, bhakti, bhava, bhakti, prem, bhakti. And 2, 4, and 6 qualities each stage has. Okay, so that's all right. Okay. Then, now these important questions are there. In ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is our guru. What does this mean? Please explain. So it means that Srila Prabhupada is our preeminent Siksha Guru or a mandatory Siksha Guru. So when we say mandatory, it means that we have to follow. If you don't follow Prabhupada, leave ISKCON and join somewhere else. That's the meaning of that. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada is our guru means he's the founder acharya of ISKCON, and we are mandatory, we have to follow Prabhupada. His instruction is Siksha, like that. Okay, so this is the answer. So whoever has written preeminent Siksha Guru, we are supposed to follow him. They will get full points. Any question on this?
No, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay, so next two questions are very important and it requires some, you know, explanation also. In ISKCON, can we take Siksha from everyone? Can we take Siksha from outside ISKCON?
17 first. Explain difference between Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, okay. Explain difference between Siksha and Diksha Guru and explain their similarities. Okay. So I think most of you have written right answers, but you have probably missed some points. So the difference between Siksha and Diksha Guru. Now, Diksha Guru is the one, you know, who gives us Gayatri. Siksha Guru is the one who can, actually, technically speaking, according to Shastra, Siksha Guru can also give us Harinam. Actually, because you know, Harinam is Nam Guru. So Siksha Guru can also give us Harinam. But in, you know, in ISKCON, Prabhupada has made this system that the Diksha Guru is giving both of, like, Harinam and Gayatri. Okay. So the Siksha gives, you know, Siksha Guru gives only Siksha, and the Diksha Guru gives. Okay, so what kind of Siksha they will give, both of them? So the Diksha Guru is, you know, he has to give Sambandh Gyan, minimum. Okay. He's obliged to give Sambandh Gyan, but it's not necessary that he will give Abhidaya and Prayojan Gyan. So the Siksha Guru is the one who will give, normally he gives the Abhidaya Gyan. Abhidaya and Prayojan. Okay. However, you know, now the Diksha Guru can also give Siksha, but, you know, the Siksha Guru doesn't, you know, he does not give Diksha. That's the difference. One thing I think, you know, most of the devotees have missed this point that, okay, chalo. Ha. Ha. So most of the devotees, they have forgotten to mention this point that Siksha and Diksha Guru are identical representatives of the Lord. And if we discriminate between them, then we are committing offense. Okay, so this is the most important similarity of a Siksha and Diksha Guru. Okay, and the difference is that, you know, the way they deal with the disciple can be different. Okay, so Siksha Guru can give Abhidaya and Prayojan Gyan, and Diksha Guru gives Sambandh Gyan, like that. Okay, and Diksha Guru can also give Sambandh, Abhidaya, Prayojan, all of it, if he wants to. So then Prabhupada also says that normally one who gives regular Siksha, you know, naturally he becomes a Diksha Guru. So that's a traditional protocol. Okay. Yeah, so these are the points, you know, the similarities of Siksha and Diksha, and the differences between them. So any comment? Any question? Okay. Verse 2, very important. In ISKCON, can we take Siksha from everyone? Can we take Siksha from outside ISKCON? So I will answer the second one first. Can we take Siksha from outside ISKCON? Obviously not. Because unnecessarily it will cause confusion. Because the Siksha is different. Okay. So when there is difference in Siksha, see, the role of Siksha Guru and the Diksha Guru is to resolve the contradiction, not to confuse the disciple and not to contradict their teachings. Okay. So they have to assist each other, they have to cooperate with each other, and they have to simplify their instructions so that the disciple will follow only one thing. Because Diksha and Siksha Guru, and so, okay, so now Diksha Guru is the representative of, anyone remembers? So anyone remembers that Sambandh, Abhidaya, Prayojan, Dittis?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Radha,
Radha, yeah. Madan Mohan is Sambandh, Ditti.
Right.
Yeah, and Radha Govindev is Abhidev.
Right.
And Prayojan is Radha Gopinath.
Correct, yeah. So, so the same Krishna is manifesting in three forms. And in the term of, you know, Siksha and Diksha Guru. Okay, so the idea is that he cannot confuse you. He cannot bewilder you in the path of bhakti. So he has to, you know, guide you properly, step by step, right? So if we take siksha from outside ISKCON, because the siksha is so different from outside ISKCON, that we will be confused and it will be very difficult for us to follow. So our faith will be disturbed. Okay, that's why not recommended to take siksha outside ISKCON. And then obviously the question of loyalty also comes, that if we are, you know, if we have attachment to Prabhupada, then, you know, we are loyal to the instruction also. So how can we, you know, leave the instruction, siksha, and go to someone else, not for higher siksha? See, now, if you see, we say that ours is a siksha sampradaya, right? In the Bhagavad, the Bhagavad is actually a siksha parampara. Because, you see, you know, there were no mantras given. You know, it was only through siksha the connection was established. In the Bhagavad Puran, if you see examples, okay, no Gayatris were given actually. They only, like, you know, they were given siksha, and through that siksha they had established the connection, guru-disciple. So similarly, because ours is a Bhagavad siksha parampara, so in one sense, siksha is the most important thing for us. Okay, but how do we, you know, how and, you know, when to take siksha from other devotees, that is, you know, then there are some technical details about that. So that I will answer when we come to the next question, and explain traditional protocol and exceptions to it. Okay, so is this clear that we cannot take siksha from outside ISKCON because the siksha is different from Prabhupada's siksha? And because we have established this fact that Prabhupada is the main siksha guru in ISKCON, that's why we cannot take outside ISKCON. Okay, so that's the answer to this question. Now coming to in ISKCON, can we take siksha from everyone? So what is the answer to this question?
We can take, but not from everyone, Prabhuji. Because it will confuse us.
Yeah, that's a very important point. So it will confuse us. Yes, that is correct. So see, even though we are connected to Prabhupada and Prabhupada is our siksha guru, and then we all ISKCON devotees, we are following Prabhupada. So it is always safe to take siksha from anyone in ISKCON. But when it comes to following someone, so then also, you know, we'll be limited in our choices. We'll have to fix up our mind on some particular devotees. That's why Rupa Goswami says that we have to associate with similar minded devotees. If we don't, even within ISKCON also there is a variety. Like, you know, your choice, your way of doing things, you know, it might be completely opposite of some other devotees. But still, both are in ISKCON, both are under Prabhupada, they are following Prabhupada. But when you associate with that devotee, you will not feel so comfortable. Compatibility level will not be there. So, finally, you will come to this realization that we should always try to associate with similar-minded devotees. Okay? Like, if someone likes to understand Shastra, and would like to read Shastra a lot, you know, so then some devotees will not be able to appreciate that in ISKCON. That, you know, they will say that, like, you know, why are you reading so many books, and you know, Prabhupada never said this, and, you know, like, they might say all these things, they might discourage you, or they will say that you know, you will get pride if you read so many Shastras and all, if you get so much knowledge. So you will get, you know, these varieties in ISKCON also, and that's why you know, we have to associate with similar-minded devotees. So you associate with those who like Shastra, who like to study Shastra, like to understand, like to explain Shastra and all that, right? So like it is like that. So someone might like, you know, doing Kirtan, and he's always talking about Kirtan and all that. And then someone might like book distribution. So he's always talking about book distribution. So all these, you know, these things are under Prabhupada, you know. It's not separate from him. They are all following Prabhupada. But then when you associate with them, you will not feel that compatibility level. That's why we have to always associate with similar-minded devotees. And obviously, you will not be able to follow someone who is having opposite views, or who is not able to appreciate your, you know, way of you know, devotional service. So if they cannot appreciate, you know, your, then you will not be able to follow them for a long time. Okay. And then obviously we cannot take siksha from everyone, because what will happen? The siksha will also contradict. Like one devotee will say something, let's say, you know, if someone is strong about Varnashram and someone is very lenient about Varnashram. So then you hear two different opinions and then you will be confused. So, like, whether to follow this or whether to... So then that's why you have to choose your Guru Jan. Okay, so you have to choose your Siksha Gurus. And we have to follow them, like that. So is this clear?
Yes, sir.
Is this, yeah, so although, yeah, it is true that in ISKCON we can take Siksha from anyone, broadly speaking, but then when we become serious in spiritual life, then we have to commit to someone. And then, you know, our choices become limited. That's how we'll progress. Otherwise, we'll not be able to satisfy anyone. You know, if we have 10 different gurus with different opinions, then, you know, like, we'll not stand anywhere and we'll not be able to gain mercy of any of the devotees because not be able to satisfy them properly. See, if you, and it also shows your, you know, loyalty and faithfulness to some particular devotees. Like, you know, every time if you do this, that you go to a devotee, you take guidance from them, and then you think that, well, you know, this devotee is not right, you know, proper, like, and then you go to another devotee, take their view, and then you still feel you are not convinced, and then you go to the third devotee. So then, if you do this repeatedly, then all these, you know, devotees who are guiding you, they will also feel that, you know, isko bolke kuch fayda nahi hai, you know, it's like, he'll come to me, he will take my view, but he will do whatever he wants to do, right? So see, that's why it's so important to be faithful also, you know, finally, ultimately, to the devotees who are helping in spiritual life. And then obviously, you know, with faith, see, because along with inquiring, we have to also render service. And then to, you know, to be faithful and to render service, we cannot do with everyone. So we have to be, you know, these choices will become very limited and we advance in spiritual life. Okay, and then, you know, if we have more capacity to render service, then we may render, but it should not lessen our service to our own Gurujan. Okay, like that. So this we have to understand. And we have to understand one more thing, that tomorrow, if you meet a Uttamadhikari, let's say Uttamadhikari, you know, and if you are taking guidance from a Madhyamadhikari, and if you are not faithful to the Madhyamadhikari, and if you show disrespect to him or try to play games, you know, or you think that Uttamadhikari is more advanced, so I will go to him and try to, you know, get his mercy and blessings more, you know, then I will advance more, then that is also not right understanding, because we have to always remember one thing, that Uttamadhikari, he might give you, you know, that some period of time, maybe 1 hour time or whatever it is, you might get inspired, but then the rest of the life, you are going to get instruction from whom? The Madhyamadhikari. You know, if you are fortunate, you might get Uttamadhikari's association also, but then in the association of advanced devotees also, you know, the offenses are also severe. Like, if you commit offense to Uttama, then your spiritual life will degrade also more faster compared to committing offense to a Madhyama. Okay, so that risk is also there. So we have to be very careful about these things, you know, and we have to properly appreciate and respect our Gurujans, you know, even if they are whatever they are, like, you know, Madhyamas or Uttamas. But for a disciple, his guru is always Uttama. So technically speaking, not Uttama Adhikari, they might not be Uttama Adhikari, but Uttama means they are always first class for them. Like, you know, for a son or a daughter, you know, her or his, you know, father is the best father, even though he might not be rich. So similarly, this same thing is applicable in spiritual life also. That's why Narahari Sarkar writes in Krishna Varnamrit that for a disciple, you know, a disciple has to pay special respects to his own Diksha and Diksha Guru, even though they might not be advanced than, you know, other devotees, you know. So what it means that he has to pay special respects to his Diksha and Diksha Guru means that with heart, soul, you know, body, mind, words, he has to serve his own Guru first. Okay, and it also says that if he hears something from Uttamadhikari or advanced devotee, which is different from his guru, then he should humbly approach the guru and, you know, tell them, share with them that this is what I heard, and then ask them whether, you know, is this, you know, something that I can follow. And if they say no, then you should not follow that. Okay. And then it is also mentioned that the disciple, he can also, in defense of his guru, he can also disagree with the advanced devotee. You know, he, respectfully, he can also say no, that sorry, you know, I won't be able to follow because my guru thinks that, you know, I should not do it like that. So this is the, you know, guru-disciple relationship. This is we have to follow. So this, you know, this guru-disciple course, you know, in ISKCON, it's based on this book, Krishna Bhandamrit by Narahari Sarkar. Okay. So it's very important to understand all these things. So that's why we have to always identify our Gurujan. And then we are first obliged to them. Our first obligation goes to them. And then later on, you know, if you have the time, if you have, you know, if you are not, if you are doing everything properly, you know, with the blessings of your own guru, then you may also serve other devotees. But it should not interfere with your service to your own guru. Okay? So, any questions or comments on this? Is this clear to everyone?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah. And see, one more thing is there, that see, ultimately, Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, whatever it is, you know, the Guru is always a Guru. Means he is actually representing the Guru Tattva. See, the, you know, all these things, you know, the Lord is noticing. You know, the Guru Tattva, the original Guru Tattva, Lord Balaram, he is noticing all these things, you know. So, even if you try to please a Uttamadhikari, but if you do, you know, at the cost of displeasing your own Guru, then you don't think that Krishna will reward you devotional service or you will make advancement in spiritual life. Because Krishna sees holistically, you know, he knows who is your Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru, and that's how your connection to the Lord is. So that's our first obligation. Okay, so we cannot do anything at the cost of displeasing our Diksha and Siksha Gurus. Okay, so this we have to keep in mind. So, you know, because the trend is that, you know, everyone is running after the Uttamadhikaris and especially sannyasis. So, you know, because everyone feels that sannyasis are, you know, more advanced or they are the Uttamadhikaris and others are like, you know, Kanishtas or Madhyamas. Okay, so see, in one sense, it is correct to say that sannyasis are supposed to be more advanced because of their renunciation and because, you know, they are full time, they are like dedicating to Krishna consciousness. So they are supposed to be more advanced. That's correct. But it's not necessary that a Grihastha is always a Madhyamadhikari. It's not necessary like that. The Grihastha can also be a Uttamadhikari. And it is also true that a Sannyasi can be a Madhyamadhikari. So that's also possible. Okay, so we should not unnecessarily, you know, discriminate like that, you know, unless we are told by our Guru that who is a Uttama, who is a Madhyama. And that's why Narahari Sarkar also says, in Krishna Varnamrit, that it's very important to discriminate between Vaishnavas, but then if you don't know who is, you know, what and what, then better to treat them, you know, like equally, you know, like if you are not able to judge them properly, then treat them equally. But if you know who is a more advanced Vaishnava, see, now interestingly, you know, what he says is that if the devotees are more advanced, then more respects can be paid to them. Okay. So, like, you know, if a Uttamadhikari comes and a Madhyamadhikari comes, so even if Madhyamadhikari is your Siksha Guru, okay, so and Uttamadhikari is like, you know, more advanced, so then you can show special respect to them, you know, like that's fine. Sorry, special respect in the sense that you can double the respect for them. Like, you know, he states that, like, if a Madhyama is, you know, Madhyama is coming, then, you know, you offer him, you know, basic things, you know, like whatever has to be offered. And then Uttama comes and you offer him proper, nice worship and all. Like you can, like that. So then, it also says that if the Guru's Guru come, then you have to double the respect for them. Okay. But what he says is finally that the special respect should be shown to one's own. Okay. Special respect should be shown to one's own guru. That's the Diksha and Siksha Guru. So although you may you may increase the quantity of your respect for more advanced devotees, but finally you have to follow your own Gurujan. That is what he says. Okay. I strongly recommend to read this book by, Shivram Maharaj, the Siksha Guru. And, it includes all these points of, Krishna Varnamrit in detail. So if anyone would, I think I have already sent this to some devotees. If anyone wants, then they can message me. I will send it. Very, very extremely important book, the Siksha Guru. Okay, so is this clear for everyone? Like any doubts on this? Yeah, so anyways, I have given a lot of explanation for this, but in general, in brief, the answer that I was expecting is that can we take Siksha from everyone? Yes, but no, like that. Yes, because everyone is present with Prabhupada, but at the same time, because we have to show commitment, faithfulness to, and we have to follow someone, we have to serve someone, that's why our choice becomes limited. So we can't take Siksha from everyone, okay, like that. And then obviously second question answer I've already mentioned. So these are the points you have to mention. Okay. Okay. So now 19th question. 19th question. Almost everyone has, written something of their own, because I think they have not heard this term, traditional protocol, or probably we have discussed this. They do not remember. So only I think one devotee wrote that because I had conducted one Siksha Guru class separately. I had given like 15 sessions on that, the Siksha Guru, almost two, three years back. So like one class about 2.5 hours or 3 hours. So that devotee knows what is traditional protocol and all. So that devotee has written properly. Yeah. So see, basically the traditional protocol is that the Diksha Guru is the main object of worship. Okay. And the Siksha Guru is assisting. He is acting as a limb of the Diksha Guru. So do you understand this point? That, see, what happens, traditional protocol says that whoever you take regular Siksha from naturally should become your Diksha Guru. Okay. So, see, what happens is that when we start taking Siksha from many, many different devotees, then we get inclined to one particular devotee. Like, we have more faith, more commitment and all, more surrender. So then that Siksha Guru is the Siksha Guru. That's traditional protocol. Okay. So now what happens is, for the disciple, that Diksha Guru is the first object of worship, naturally. Okay. So then, from where to the Siksha, what he will do is, he will filter this with the Siksha of his own Diksha Guru. So he will see that whether the other devotees, if they are representing my Guru or not. So if they are representing his guru to a lot of degree, then he will take Siksha from them. So what does this mean? That Siksha becomes a limb of the Diksha. Okay. In other words, the Siksha Guru becomes a limb of the Diksha Guru. The Siksha Guru is taking a subordinate position. Right? And he's just assisting. And he's increasing the faith of the disciple in his own Diksha Guru. Like that. So this is a traditional protocol. Means it should be like this. Because there is only one guru and that's the Diksha Guru. So, it should be like this. Okay. So now this is traditional protocol. So now what are the exceptions to it? So the exception, anyone knows or anyone remembers the exceptions? See, exception means what? Let's say you have a traditional protocol where your Diksha Guru is the main center, object of worship. But exceptions to it means that Diksha Guru is not the main focus, but the Siksha Guru is the main focus. Okay, so now in which circumstances this can take place?
If Diksha Guru is not available or is not following.
Correct, yeah. So these are some of the reasons that a Diksha Guru he falls down or he is not available, he is not able to give us time. So these are some of the things. Then others?
Diksha Guru was chosen for some other reason than Shiksha.
Correct, exactly. Yeah. So Diksha Guru we chose because out of formality, out of peer pressure, or out of family lineage. Because, you know, everyone in the family is a disciple of this guru. So I also took from this guru. Without any, you know, like connection of Shiksha.
Connection with the guru.
And then, you know, in ISKCON, like, you know, we have heard that so many devotees will say, Prabhu, Mataji, you know, you should take Shiksha, Diksha, you know, like soon. This particular guru is giving, you know, like within 2-3 years, you know, you should take, come on, don't think. You are given, you know, lifetime opportunity. You will not get it. Come on, take. So that is out of peer pressure. Right? So that is out of peer pressure. So you take Shiksha, Diksha from a guru just because, you know, others told you, or, you know, like, or it is your own desire, you know, to get name, fame, prestige. You know, that, oh, I will be like called, like, you know, initiated devotee of, you know, initiated disciple, you know, like that. So in order to get name, fame, or, you know, all the devotees, younger devotees will respect me that, you know, Prabhuji has taken Diksha, like that. So out of those reasons, if you select a Diksha Guru, so then naturally what will happen, because you don't have a connection with the Guru through Shiksha, so then your inclination will go towards someone who has given you, you know, real Shiksha. Means you are actually inspired by Shiksha more. Okay, so then that will be the Shiksha Guru. So in that case, what happens? The Shiksha Guru becomes the main object of worship. And the Diksha Guru takes the subordinate position. Yeah. 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 So this is the thing, right? So so this is the exceptions to traditional protocol. Okay? So is this clear?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Any comments or any questions? So on this principle, who is more important in a disciple's life? Diksha Guru or Shiksha Gurus? So we have already answered that question. So if one is following the traditional protocol, then the Diksha Guru is more important for that devotee. And if there are exceptions to that, then the Shiksha Guru becomes the, first object of worship. So, but at the, you know, in any case, you know, if that's the Diksha or the Shiksha Guru, one should always remember that these Shiksha and Diksha Guru, they are identical manifestation of the Lord. So one has to have proper respect for them. Okay. So to the degree that you are taking instructions from them, guidance from them, or to the degree they are giving you the time, so to that degree, we have to commit to them. We are obliged to them. So this thing we have to always remember. Like, you know, for example, although a Diksha Guru may be a most prominent, might take a most prominent role in a disciple's life, but then the disciple might not be able to, you know, take regular guidance. Like, you know, he might be hearing the classes. He's inspired by his Shiksha. But like, you know, for example, you know, our own Guru Maharaj, like, you know, we are probably all inspired by their Shiksha. But we are not able to get this physical association, right? So then the Diksha Guru, we can say that the Diksha Guru is the main focus, you know, or the main priority in our life, the first object of worship. But then the Shiksha Gurus, they are giving so much time to us, which the Diksha Guru is not able to give. So then in that case, the Diksha and Shiksha Guru, they will take equal position, right? So the Shiksha Guru is also not... you know, contradicting the Diksha Guru, and the Diksha Guru also supports the Shiksha Guru, like that. So in that case, it becomes equal. The weight becomes equal. Okay. So, the culmination of all this is that whoever is giving you Shiksha on a regular basis, they have a very important role in your life. That's the ultimate, you know, conclusion of this. So you have to, you know, have proper, you have to reciprocate with them accordingly, like that. Okay. So, is this clear to everyone?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. No questions.
Yes, Prabhuji.
No comments. Okay, Bhairavi Mataji, you have any question? she or okay and are you all there?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, all right. So if this is clear, then let's go to the next. So explain Varnashram and its implication within ISKCON. So I think most of the devotees have written right answer that Varna, they explaining Varna and Ashrama, you know, Brahm, Kshatriya, Vaishnava, Sudra and all that, Grihastha, one, you know, Sannyas and all. And then implementation within ISKCON is that, you know, Prabhupada said, you know, we have set up a Devi Varnashram system where you do your duties and you also remember Krishna, you serve the Lord, you know, your association of devotees. And, you know, that's how you, so like, you know, some, see, one most important thing that, you know, I was looking here is that by establishing Varnashram, Prabhupada was actually encouraging all the devotees to act naturally according to their inclination. Okay, so when they are naturally acting according to their inclination, they are always satisfied and happy. And then they can advance in spiritual life. Okay, so this is the goal of Varnashram, basically. Right? So this is the implementation within ISKCON. Okay. Yeah, so any comments? Okay, what is the meaning of pure devotee? How would you explain the meaning of pure devotees with the reference to ISKCON? Okay, so this we have discussed a couple of times. That the meaning of pure devotee, so we are not saying that a pure devotee is someone who is perfected devotee, someone at the level of bhava or prema. So I am not, you know, I don't want that kind of answer here. So one could say, or one like many devotees have written that a pure devotee is one who is always engaged in Krishna service. That is completely acceptable. That's the real, you know, meaning of that. So I was not expecting bhava or prema, okay, or nitya siddha. No, that's not the right answer. Obviously, it is there. You know, they are all pure devotees, no doubt about that. But a pure devotee is also someone who is actually sincerely following his own guru. You know, so some devotees have written this answer, and that's very good actually. That whoever is following their guru sincerely, strictly, they are all, you know, kind of pure devotees. Okay. That's why the pure devotees, you know, we start at the state of Madhyam Adhikaris or at the state of Nishta, because their maximum anarthas are gone. 75% anarthas are destroyed. Passion, ignorance is almost destroyed, like that. Okay, so this is the meaning of pure devotee. And how would you explain the meaning of pure devotees? So now we say, with reference to ISKCON, in the sense that because it's a preaching movement. See, I was looking for this answer. That because it's a preaching movement, so and preaching is based on compassion. Okay, so it is not based on bhajan, one's own bhajan. And that's why Prabhupada has given a standard, and whoever is following the standard at the same time he's preaching, he's a pure devotee. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, okay, so this will also kind of connect it to the next question also. Okay, so meaning of pure devotee reference to ISKCON is that someone who is assisting in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and at the same time, he's sincerely following his guru's instruction. So that's the meaning of pure devotee with reference to ISKCON. Okay, so any comments? Okay, so now, all right, so this next question is also kind of connected. So sometimes devotees from outside ISKCON say there is no pure devotees in ISKCON. How would you tackle this claim? Okay. So now many devotees have written their own interpretation on this question. But a very general way to answer this question is that ISKCON is a preaching mission. It's a preaching movement, and it's based on the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has asked us to preach, and Prabhupada has asked, you know, he's the current Acharya, so he has asked us to preach. So we are more focusing on preaching than our own bhajan. So that's why we don't talk about, you know, higher stages and all that so much, or we don't discuss so much about that. We basically talk about service in ISKCON, and that's like, you know, to spread the Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so if someone has, you know, quoted this, I think one devotee did that. he said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one can know the status of a devotee by judging how many devotees he has made in his lifetime, or how advanced a devotee is by how many devotees he has made in his lifetime. So this is one, you know, brilliant answer which we can share with others who say that there are no pure devotees in ISKCON. So we can tell them that actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur said like this, that, you know, so many devotees are, you know, coming to ISKCON, you know, so many new people that are joining ISKCON. It shows, you know, it's a proof that, you know, ISKCON has powerful preachers. They are all pure devotees in that sense, you know, in terms of spreading the mission of Mahaprabhu. So, and then obviously the other answer is that one cannot judge a devotee externally. That because Rupa Goswami very clearly says that even if a devotee is situated on, you know, Bhava platform or Uttamadhikari platform, he is not going to reveal it to the world. Right? So he's externally is going to behave like a sadhaka. So obviously one cannot judge externally. So it gets one to know, you know, it takes one to know one, basically. Okay, so that's how we can present it to others. So, and then obviously we know that if someone says that, you know, in our organization there are pure devotees, you know, someone has reached this platform, that platform. So then they are just boosting, you know, because no one is going to reveal one's own stature in spiritual life, because humility is the most important thing. Mahaprabhu says so many times that the more humble we become, the more advanced we become in spiritual life. So a humble devotee will never broadcast his own glories, right? So this is the thing. So any comments on this? Question? No? Okay. So 23rd question. What are the three types of devotees? Yeah. What are the three types of devotees? So almost everyone has given the right answer. Uttama, Madhyama, Kanishta. And the symptoms, it's like, you know, the more you recognize the symptoms, write down, then you'll get the, you know, full points for that. But some devotees have missed the important symptoms. So, like, accordingly, I have deducted that. Okay, so Uttama is basically, you know, the main most important is that he cannot discriminate. He is very humble, meek. He sees Paramatma in everyone's heart. Then, you know, very, very extremely well-versed in Shastra, can defeat everyone, you know, can challenge anyone and defeat. So these are the main characteristics of Uttama. Madhyama, you know, his faith is strong, but sometimes he's not able to. Now see, Madhyama, you know, some devotees have written that he is not able to, you know, defeat others and all. But that's not true completely. Like, it is, you know, sometimes he's not able to provide proper Shastric evidences. Not able to quote Shastra, and sometimes he's not able to defeat others. Okay, then he discriminates. He's the one who is going to bestow mercy like that. So these are important points for a Madhyama. Then he is going to discriminate between the association, you know, like he will take association. And he is the one, like, he'll decide whom to associate, whom not to associate, all that. Then Kanishta, one very important point is that he sees the deity form of the Lord in the temple, but he does not properly respect the devotees. This is very important for the Kanishta. So very, you know, weak faith. He can be easily defeated like that. So these are the things. Okay. Which are the four types of people who approach God, right? Arth, Arthardi, Jnani, Jigyasu. So if you have written this, then it's good. Give examples from Shastra. Like, you know, you have also all quoted examples, relevant examples, Kumaras, and then Dhruv Maharaj, like that, different examples. And who is the best among them? The Jnani, the wise, basically. Because it's connected, knowledge is connected to the knowledge of the Lord, like that. So yeah, so whoever has mentioned the examples, you know, and the types of people and the best among them, they have all got full points. Next question. Now, many, I think none of the devotees, they have written the real meaning of Diksha. Okay, and then none of the devotees have mentioned why in ISKCON we have two initiations instead of one? Please explain the difference between Diksha and ISKCON and outside ISKCON. I think none of the devotees have mentioned any of these questions properly. Okay, so what is the answer? The first question is, Diksha means it's a combination of two words, Di and Shaya. So Di means Divya Gyan. At the time of initiation, the Guru is giving Gyan. And at the same time, Shaya means he's taking up all the sinful reactions on him. Right? So this is the meaning of Diksha. That is what I was looking for. So many devotees have written, Diksha means initiation. Yeah, initiation, like, you know, it's the English word for that. But what is the meaning of Diksha? So this is what I was expecting. The meaning of Diksha. And then why in ISKCON we have two initiations?
Can you repeat?
Yes, Prabhupada, repeat.
Di means?
Di means Divya, Divya. It's a, you know, it's a combination of two words, Divya and Shaya. So that from Divya is coming Di and from Shaya is coming Sha. So Di, Sha. So Diksha is coming from two words. So this Divya is Divya Gyan. Divya Gyan is the Prakashito. Right? And the Shaya means that destroying the sinful reactions. Okay, so at the time of Diksha, the spiritual master takes the sinful reactions up to the present time. And he is also providing Divya Gyan. That is the meaning of Diksha. Okay. Now, why in ISKCON we have two initiations instead of one? So, most of the devotees, they have not given answer. You know, they have like kind of just written something. You know, like the Gayatri is given at, you know, and then when the qualification is there, Gayatri is given. Till then, Harinam has to be chanted. But that is not the reason. See, the reason is actually Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur has made this into two things. Because technically from the Shastra, there is only Diksha and there is only Gayatri. Harinam is not defined only in the Diksha. Because as I told you earlier, Harinam, Nam Guru is a Siksha Guru. So see, we all have received name actually from Prabhupada in one sense. Because we are all chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra even before initiation. Right? So in one sense, you know, and Nam and Siksha Gurus can be many. So that's why we have received from Prabhupada. And then at the time of initiation, the Diksha Guru also gives us, you know, like by his chanting, the name is, you know, the potency is there in the chanting. The potency increases when he is bestowing the name on us. Okay. So Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, you know, like started from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. So what he did, you know, he divided Diksha into two parts. Why? Because he realized that in Kali Yuga, many are fallen and, you know, they are far away from Brahmanika standard. So then what he did, he asked for everyone to chant Harinam, you know, on a regular basis so that they can get sufficiently purified and come to Gayatri, you know, the state of Brahmana by regularly chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So then when, you know, when they follow 16 rounds, chant 16 rounds, follow regular principles, then they will, and when they are sincerely, strictly following this, then they will attain the position of Brahmana. And then the Gayatri is given. So this is a division made. Okay? Because in Kali Yuga, everyone is a Malecha, Yavana, like that, Sudra. That's why Prabhupada did, also followed Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Okay, so this is the reason for that. And explain Diksha in ISKCON and outside ISKCON. Now, see, so I don't, maybe, okay, like, I think not a single devotee has given, you know, the answer to this question, I think, probably, as far as I recollect. But, so you see, in Gaudiya Math, the Diksha is actually, the main Diksha is the Gayatri. So, they give more importance to Gayatri and less to Harinam. And they give Harinam to anyone. They don't have any rules and regulations for chanting Harinam. Okay, so and interestingly, the name is also changed at the time of second initiation, which means, you know, when they give the Diksha, you know, the Diksha mantras, the Gayatri. So, but in ISKCON, we have a system where, you know, in the first initiation itself, the name is given to us. Name means like our, like, you know, like Premras Das and, you know, Devi Dasi and Das, like that. So that name is changed. But in Gaudiya Math, you know, it is like, only when they take Gayatri, that time it is given to them. But Harinam is given to everyone, you know, they can chant Harinam without following any, you know, rules, regulations and all that. So like that. So that is the difference, you know, between ISKCON and outside ISKCON. And then obviously, if you talk about other sampraday, then they don't have this, you know, they don't have Harinam as such. For them, Kirtan is the main thing. Okay, and they are only given Diksha. So there is Diksha only in other sampraday. There is no Harinam stuff and all that. Okay. So like that. So any comments or questions on this? Okay. Now, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a Vedic mantra. Okay, so how could that be chanted loudly and distributed freely? Now, I think almost all devotees, they have mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the one who actually gave the mantra. That's why we are able to chant. Yeah, that is correct. But that is not the real reason for it. Because as I said earlier, that the Hare Krishna Maha, it's a Maha Mantra. So the Maha Mantra, although it's a Vedic mantra, but the Vedic influence is not applicable to Maha Mantra. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can be chanted by anyone, irrespectively, you know, whether it is Vedic mantra or a Panchatrik mantra or whatever it is. So that is the real reason for this. Okay. And someone also mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed the, you know, he reversed the, you know, the words of the mantra. Like, you know, it was earlier, it was Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Hare. But then Mahaprabhu changed it to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But that's not correct, because I have, you know, long time back I had sent one email about, you know, evidences from Shastra where actually Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is starts with Hare Krishna only. It does not start with Hare Rama. So a lot of evidences are there in the Shastra. So that is not actually the real reason. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has kept the name intact. It is like that only. The this particular Hare Krishna Maha Mantra appears in the Kali Santara Upanishad. And it is in the real form. Like it's beginning with Hare Krishna Maha Mantra only. So it's not beginning with Hare Rama. Okay. So that's why, because the holy name of the Maha Mantra is completely independent. So that's why it can be chanted loudly and distributed freely. Because there are no rules and regulations for that. That's the real reason for this. Okay. And then obviously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. Because, you know, see, now, interestingly, I will tell you one thing, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it because although we have the holy name, but then there are offenses to the holy name also, right? So if you all remember, you know, long time back I had quoted Jiva Goswami from Tattva Sandar, you know, he has mentioned this point that why were devotees in previous yugas, you know, they were not chanting and for them different prescribed methods were there to attain God. Like, you know, in Satyuga it was meditation, Trita Yuga, Yajna and all that. So the reason given by Jiva Goswami is that because they were very afraid of chanting the holy name just because of offenses to the holy name. Because the reactions were so severe, very instantaneous. Okay, so now the contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in giving the holy name is, you know, Jiva Goswami says that By you know, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra himself and by distributing it, what Mahaprabhu did essentially is he has taken up the reactions of the offenses on his own head, you know, by distributing this mantra to everyone, each and everyone. So we have, all of us have special protection of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If his mercy is removed, then, you know, gone, we are gone. You know, it will be like each and every day we'll be committing severe offenses to the holy name. Okay, but Mahaprabhu's special mercy is there, you know, like that protection is there. So, and he is willing, so Mahaprabhu is saying that, you know, you all chant this mantra, follow what I'm saying. In humble state of mind, you chant the holy name and, you know, like whatever, defend, like, you know, and then Mahaprabhu says that, you know, I'm willing to take up the reaction of all the offenses to the holy name. So this is the special mercy of Mahaprabhu. That's why he distributed this holy name. At the same time, when he distributed, the potency of Maha Mantra also increased. Those who chant the Maha Mantra, who have received from Mahaprabhu, so their potency of the holy name increased when they chant. Okay, so this is like the actual reasons for this. So any comments or questions? Thank you. No questions? Okay. Explain what is Vedic Panchatrik and Bhagavat Marg. So this also we have discussed that Vedic Marg is, you know, consists of the Brahmanas, the Arankyas, the Upanishads and the Samhitas. And the Vedic Marg is extremely difficult. Not everyone is not possible to follow in this Kali Yuga. Okay, so then we have the Panchatrik Marg, which we have discussed that how originally this this was actually narrated to, you know, again, when a Madhu Kaitab, they killed, they were killed by Haigriv incarnation, and then because they had stolen the Vedas, and then Brahma approached the Lord, and, you know, he asked the Lord to again repeat, you know, the essence of the Vedas. So then the Lord, in 5 nights, he gave this knowledge to Brahma, you know, the essence of Vedas. So that's why it is called Pancharatri. In 5 nights of, you know, the knowledge was given, Pancharatrik Vidhi. Right, and then this Brahma, from Brahma to Narada, Narada to Shiva, it came like that. So this is Panchatrik Vidhi, which talks about deity worship and all that, the tantras and all that. Okay, and the Bhagavat Marg is completely our, you know, the Shravanam Kirtanam Marg, Smaranam. You know, like all these, especially the Kirtanam, you know, is the Bhagavat Marg. So these are the three marks, and which mark we are following in ISKCON. Now, some devotees mentioned that we are following Panchatrik. Some said we are following Bhagavat mark. Okay, and thankfully, none of them said Vedic mark, because Vedic mark is, you know, impossible to follow in this yoga. So the path that we are following in ISKCON, some devotees wrote it's both Panchatrik as well as Bhagavat, and that's correct. So we are on two parallel tracks, Panchatrik as well as Bhagavat. So Panchatrik is what? We are seeing deity worship which is going on in the temple. Okay, so Prabhupada established deities, and he asked us to worship the deities in the house also. And the Bhagavat Marg is completely based on Harinam Sankirtan. Shravanam, hearing Harinam Sang, Sadhu Sang, and, you know, Harinam Sankirtan, like that. So these are the difference that. So we are following both of them. Okay. So any question or any comment? Okay. What are the different types of avatars of the Lord? So this also we have discussed. I think most of the devotees have given answers. You know, Leela avatar, Manvantara avatar, Shaktavesh avatar, Guna avatar, then Purusha avatar, and Yuga avatar, right? Yeah. So this was expected. Like, and if they have given example, that is good. Okay. So this is the thing. Which two siddhants the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from each sampradaya? So now this question, only the devotees who knew the answer, they have written it. But rest, all of them, they have speculated. Like, you know, they have taken Shuddha Bhakti, Vaidhi Bhakti, you know, this Bhakti, that Bhakti, like, you know. So that's not right. So, all right. So any devotee who has written this answer, can they mention? So what are the two siddhants from each sampradaya?
Yeah, so can I, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
From Lakshmi Sampradaya, the concept of unalloyed devotion free from karma and jnana, Ananya Bhakti. First one.
Yeah.
And the second one, service to the devotees.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So, worship of Vishnu, unalloyed devotion, free from karma, jnana, and service to devotees. You know, Ramanujacharya Sampradaya. Okay. Yeah. Then?
And from Madhava Sampradaya, that is to defeat of the Mayavadi philosophy.
Correct. Yeah. And?
And second is deity worship, Krishnamurti Sevanam.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. Madhvacharya Sampradaya means our Brahma Madhva Sampradaya.
Yeah, okay. Yes, of course. Right.
Third?
And from Rudra Sampradaya, the sentiment of dependence on Krishna.
Okay, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Right, surrender to Krishna.
And the path of Raganuga Bhakti.
Yes, Rag Mark, Pushti Mark or Rag Mark. Okay, that's right. And last.
And from Kumar Sampradaya, taking shelter of Radhika Kanta, Radha Rani.
Correct. So, yeah.
And second one is Gopi Bhav, love of Gopi for Krishna.
Correct. Yeah, so that's right. Everything is right. So, whoever has mentioned these points, they have got full points. And they have, if they have mentioned some points, then some points have been given. So is this clear? Any question on this? Okay, all right. So now we have read the last question. Okay, so this is a very simple question, simple answer. But then I think devotees got confused, and probably what they have, like, you know, explain the philosophy of propounded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trina api sunichena taro api sahishnuna. Then be a servant. And, you know, irrespective of any caste, creed or anything, Mahaprabhu gave the mercy. So, many devotees have written these responses. But I was not asking about that. So the philosophy propounded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Achintya Bhedabhe Tattva. That is the answer I was looking for. Okay, so each and every sampradaya, they have their own philosophy. But the philosophy that is propounded by Mahaprabhu is Achintya Bhedabhe Tattva, simultaneously one and different. So this is what I was looking for. And if someone gave example, that is nice, of simultaneously one and different. Okay,
proper
so...
I thought you were asking for the example. Okay, sorry.
No. I'm not asking. If they have given example, then it's okay. Otherwise, fine. Yeah. All right, so, this is what our, So what do you think about the question? Now, all of you, I think, should say something, about the question paper. How did you find it? Like, do you think, all the questions
Yes, extremely good.
Right now, it is quite easy to but at the time of exam, I wrote only 16 answers because I elaborate my answers a lot. That's why I didn't got the time. I completed, I took only 3 hours.
Yeah, so you see, that's why I told you that first of all, you all should go through the questions. And then you understand which question you are going to take more time, like which requires more explanation. So some of the questions were not, like many devotees have done that, they have elaborated on some questions, devotees have written about devotional service, like the first question, they have written 3-4 pages on that. So,
yeah,
it was not quite
that took a lot of.
Yeah, so...
So
I hope that all of you, felt, good that, we have all these questions, all the conceptual questions were there. It was not just based on nectar of devotion, but then I added everything in. So do you think, it was like everything was, okay, like the question format and all?
Yes.
Yes,
Prabhuji.
Very much okay.
Yeah. So today also, and see, some devotees told me because they, just made this mistake that, they elaborated on certain things. So then they told that probably it was lengthy paper. But then, got satisfied when I saw that many, many devotees have completed the paper in time and they have properly presented, wherever brief answer was required, they have mentioned briefly. Wherever elaborate, they have, and they finished in, within 3 hours. Right? So, I think, I don't think it was lengthy, if all of you knew the answers, understood, then it was not so difficult to finish the paper within 3 hours. Yeah, so today only I sent, when I read letter, Prabhupada's letter, and, I was so, happy that, in a similar format also, Prabhupada also same way he had framed questions, and, you see the list of questions, So these are all, logical conceptual questions which Prabhupada asked in the exam. Like, you believe in Krishna, why do you believe in Krishna? What evidence you have? How can you show to someone, prove to someone? See, this is what, I also followed in the footsteps of Prabhupada only, which I did not knew earlier because this letter I read today only. But, I also felt so happy that, it was like, similar to what, in that direction also I had framed the questions. That I wanted that all devotees should understand the concepts and they should be able to present to others. Okay. So... yeah, there are many letters, where Prabhupada says that exam should be there, and it's a very good way to understand how much, you know, all the devotees are understanding the concepts and all, right? So, all right. So, any questions or comments about the entire overview?
Yes, Prabhuji, it's very nice. No, it's looking very easy, Prabhuji, paper is looking.
Huh?
No, that paper is looking very easy, Prabhuji. Earlier it was hard.
Yeah. Yeah, so, see, that's why I told you, that if you hear attentively, if you understand the concepts, then there is no need of preparation also.
Yes,
because, you can just write the paper, whatever you understand, you write it. And then it's not required actually to prepare also. So unnecessarily, I don't know, why devotees wanted 3-4 months. I understand that office, job and everything is there. But, it's actually not so difficult, if you can focus, properly with concentration, if you can remember that, these are the important points, concepts, then we can easily give it. Okay, so now what I wanted is, that summary thing is not going to work out. Okay, because I don't think it's, it's as, Satyabhama Mataji was saying that, it's relative. Yeah, that's correct. It's going to be relative. And at the same time, it's not going to justify marks, points if I want to give to all devotees. It's not going to justify, because in one page, if you write, how much can you write, so it's not going to be justified. Plus at the same time, it's very difficult for me also to check the answer papers, because I will have to go through the entire thing, to actually pick up the important points from the chapter and all. So that's not possible for me. So one thing is there that now if you all want exam, future exams, then it will be in question answer format. But what I've decided is that we will have the exam on one day only. I cannot afford to, because I was explaining in CC class the same thing that, we cannot keep, delaying things, because if there are, more than 20, 25 devotees, and, each and every devotee, if they write at their own pace, then every month I will have to correct papers only, which is not feasible for me, because with Bhagavad Gita class, now a lot of preparation is required for that. So don't expect, I won't be able to do it. So what I can suggest is that we'll have the exam after 3 months. What do you say? Is that okay for everyone? So
yes,
I think and I will assign the chapters. Okay, I will assign the chapters that so now NOD exam, when you all want to give the upcoming exam?
4th, 5th chapter.
See, but everyone, see now I'm assuming that all devotees will give the exam on the same day. So you should all be ready for that day. Okay, no excuses allowed. Okay, because just imagine that you are giving Bhakti Shastri like that. Because then it will be convenient for, everyone actually. Like you all have sufficient time to prepare. And then all, I will receive all the papers. And then, the chances of copying and all that, which was disgusting, that will also not be there. Okay, so
July, Prabhuji. In July,
Prabhuji, what is the portion?
Portion, no, I am just going to tell you only that we have done till chapter 3 and there are 19 chapters. So let's say if you have another 3 exams more, then 3 divided by, 16. So 3 divided 16. So almost 5 chapters will be there. Is that okay, or we should have 5 exams and 3 chapters?
5 exams, 3 chapters.
Not 3 exams. 5 exams. Okay. Yes. And 3 chapters. Okay. And see, now, one more thing. That the advantage that you'll have is that I'm not going to ask conceptual question now. It will be only pertaining to the chapters or whatever you have heard in the class. Okay. So I think then it will probably reduce the questions also, number of questions. Maybe it might be around 15-20 probably.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so,
okay, Prabhuji.
So can we have it after 2 months, this 5 exams?
Asha, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Everyone is okay, no?
All the 5 after 2 months, I understand.
Huh?
All the 5 exams after 2 months, I didn't understand.
No. After 2 to 2 months, like that. The second exam after two.
July.
Then third exam, September, like that. Vesa.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, lekin, you know, it will like delay, pura delay ho jayega. Let's have, what I can suggest, let's have 4 exams, you know, that will be good. Let's have 4 exams and 4 chapters. Let's make it 4 chapters. Unnecessarily, okay. You know, like we'll have to wait for 10 months, you know, 5 exam hoga to 10 mahina lagega. And 4 exam rahega to 8 months, within 8 months. That's also a long time actually, in one sense. So, I mean, agar aap log sab, see, if you all are ready, no, then we can have, you know, like...
One exam every month.
Is that okay for all of you?
Okay, bro.
Yes.
But you give, you know, on one day.
Okay.
So, uske liye ready hona chahiye aap log sabko. Ki jo din exam hai, us din dene ka, like, you know, considering as a Bhakti Shastri.
Padenge, Prabhuji. Only if you force, we will study. Otherwise, we will be relaxed.
I mean, see, I don't want to force also. At the same time, I also want to, you know...
No, we need it, Prabhuji.
Be realistic, you know, that... because aisa ho, ek saal ke baad tak, ek saal tak exam dete rahenge, matlab, you know, it's like too long, actually. So... So let's do one thing. You know, I will ask some devotee to post in the group about you know, the exam options. So one option is that every month you have the exam. So you finish in 3, then we'll have 3 chapters, then you'll finish in 5 months. Okay, wo ek chapter last ka hua, we'll adjust it, you know, like wo include kar denge usme. So 5 exams ho jayega. Like let's, you know, within 5 months everything is done. The second option is let's have it after 2 months. And 4 chapters. ठीक है, so ये दो option रखते हैं सिर्फ हम लोग, 1 month and 2 months का, and whatever you all decide, and then we have to also be very clear that the exam has to be given on the same day, all the devotees they have to give on that day. Timing अगर ऊपर नीचे होगा तो ठीक है, because वो time zone का difference है, like Qatar में devotee है या फिर you know, US mein hai devotee. So that is okay, but ek hi din mein do sab log, you know, and aur wo koi copy karega to wo to mujhe samajh mein aa hi jayega wo answer se, you know, like easily. So lekin, you know, next time agar ye, if it is repeating this time that copying, then, you know, whether that devotee is a topper or, you know, the last, you know, I have to very respectfully, humbly advise or ask that devotee to leave the group, you know, or he or she will be disqualified, you know. I mean, I'm really sorry to say this, you know, but I have to be strict on that. Otherwise, you know, it's not justified to all other devotees, you know, because all other devotees are writing, you know, they are expressing their views, taking efforts to learn, study, you know, so it should be justified like that. Right? Okay, so this is done. Okay, so we have decided this. Some devotee can post in the group that, you know, we have this thing. First and second option is, you know, 1 month after every month or after 2 months. Then 2 months rahega to 4 chapters and 1 month rahega to 3 chapters, like that. So, is that okay for everyone?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji.
All right, okay. Okay, all right. So, thank you so much for joining. I wanted to ask you all. Forgot to ask you. You do you want a, you know, like, will, if you want, we'll have a revision class also.
Yes, Prabhuji, that's good, Prabhuji. Yeah, we want.
Yeah.
Before the exam, have a revision class for everyone's benefit. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam to everyone.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you.